Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me once again to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. We'll read the first three chapters like we did last time, and then jump right in. Malachi 3:1, he says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." Heavenly Father, once again, we ask your help. Help us to understand your word and to see Jesus Christ in the text that we study. And we're careful to give that same Jesus all the credit, all the praise, all the glory. And in his wonderful name, Lord, we pray, amen. So like I said, we've looked at this, but I want to move along. But it says in verse 2, "But who may abide the day of Christ's coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he, Jesus Christ, is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." We know where Jesus Christ sits today. It's in heaven at the right hand of the Father. But he'll sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. Let's address that first. Here in South Louisiana, and throughout the South, I suppose, it's common that men are hunters. And if you're really into hunting, really into guns, you may reload your own shotgun shells or whatever, and if you're really into it, you'll reload your bullets. My old man did that. And he would go to the Texaco station, the gas station, whatever, back in the day. And when someone would come in and say, "Hey, I need to get a tire put on," they would unmount the tire and the old wheel weights. When they balance a tire, they have to put lead to balance the tire. But the old one, they can't do anything with it, and they throw it in a bucket. And he would visit this station and that station, and they were his friends or whatever, and they knew he was coming. And he would buy the lead, the old wheel weights, the used weights, and then take that home and melt it down. I don't know the melting point of lead. I guess I could look it up, but it's pretty hot. And as you can imagine, the wheel weights are dirty. It's trash or oil or grease or who knows what. But as you melt it down, the impurities would float to the top. And then he would take a spoon or a bar or something and dip and scoop out the impurities. And they had to do that. They had to get the impurities out because the bullet wouldn't work right. So, as a kid, I've seen a refiner's fire. And that was lead. He talks of silver here. You can talk of gold or any metal. The process of refining or getting out the impurities is the same. You heat it up, and the impurities come to the top. And it's called dross. Before we get into the rest of the message, I want to read a little bit from Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah 1 is probably one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible. Not the favorite, but one of. But he starts out, Isaiah does, in verse 4, "Our sinful nation, Israel, and a people laden or burdened down with iniquity or sin, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord." And if you look at Malachi chapter 1 and 2, you'll see that the priests, that describes them. But Isaiah brings hope. He brings correction. There's no doubt about it. He's a prophet that tells, hey, you're doing wrong. This is sin. You need to stop that and live for God. But in verse 16, it says, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead or advocate for the widow." And a very famous verse, verse 18, "Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." But in verse 21, I'll jump a couple of verses. It says, "How is the faithful city Jerusalem become a harlot, a prostitute? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it." Or it was a place that righteousness and well-doing and right-doing lived. But now, murderers. "Thy silver come dross. Thy wine mixed with water," and it goes on. But this is what it was talking about. This is where I started the program at, talking about refining metal. The point of refining metal is that you end up with a pot of liquid metal that's purified. But God said because of sin and unrighteousness and what have you, their silver is nothing but dross, nothing but impurities. There's no actual silver in it. But jumping down, and Isaiah, he brings a hard message. And he says to repent, but if repentance were to happen, there are promises. He says in verse 24 through, I guess, 28 or so, 26, whatever. "Therefore says the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin," again, impurities. God purifies those that follow him and walk with him in righteousness. That's what he wants to do for the Christian, is purify us. But let's get back to Malachi chapter 3 and read verse 2 and 3 again. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purify of silver, and shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. You know, when Jesus rose from the dead, and then he went back to heaven, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out, and Peter stood up with the 11 and preached his great sermon, and 3,000 people got saved. That's in chapter 2. And then you continue to read chapter by chapter, and great things happen. In Acts chapter 5, verse 7, it says that the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great number of the priests were obedient to the faith. Again, you remember we started out in Malachi telling all the bad things that the priests were doing. But he talks of a promise that he would purify the sons of Levi, the priests, what have you. And in great measure that was fulfilled as the gospel was preached by the apostles. But there are two aspects to the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap. By the way, a fuller is one that makes things white. And dry cleaners, they sometimes will use the old term, that of a fuller. But again, there are two aspects to this. In the end, when Jesus comes back, there's a lot that goes on when he comes back. There's a millennium, there's a lot of things. But at some point, in the end, God gets rid of all sin and corruption, and he remakes the heaven and the earth. We have a new heaven and a new earth, and all sin is gone. And once again, we get to live in a paradise. But in Matthew, we looked last time or whatever, Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, when John the Baptist saw the Pharisees and Sadducees, he stuck his finger and says, "You bunch of snakes, why are you coming over here? Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" In verse 7. And it talks about repentance and whatever, and judgment. And that every tree that doesn't bring forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. So fire has to do with judgment. We saw that it purifies, but it also has to do with judgment. But the fuller's soap, the cleansing and sanctifying work of the Spirit in our hearts and in our Christian walk and testimony, to go on in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, it says that John the Baptist, he said, I'm going to baptize you with water unto repentance, but there's one that comes after me. He's mightier than I. In fact, his shoes or his sandals, whatever, I'm not worthy to undo the buckle. But that one that comes after me, he, Jesus Christ, will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And it says that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly or thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Again, judgment but also purification. It says that his fan is in his hand, and it's an instrument. We know what a fan is. Back then they had not electric rotating fans, but they had, maybe we would think of a palmetto leaf or something like that. Or maybe they would construct something. But you understand the process. If you wave, let's say, a palmetto leaf or whatever, you can make a draft. But when they would gather in the harvest, in this case it mentions wheat, they have to separate the kernel from the rest of the plant, and I've taught on this, you've heard this. But they would take the kernels of wheat, and they would place them on essentially a bed sheet. And they would toss them into the air, while the fan was creating a draft. And all the little particles, the bits of leaf or whatever, would blow away, while the heavier kernel would stay in the bedsheet. And I say bedsheet, we would think of it that way, but whatever they used, that was the method. But it says that he would gather his wheat into the garner, or put it up in the barn. And of course it's talking about a harvest. And in this context, in the Bible's context, the harvest is winning souls, delivering people from their way to hell and their lifestyle of destruction and sin and debauchery, or whatever the case. Jesus delivers from wrong living, and he helps us to live right. Again, there's a purifying process. And I've often used the analogy that if you are a sinner and you go to the bars on Saturday night or whatever and do bar things, but when you become a Christian, you stop doing that. And instead they find you in church on Sunday morning doing Christian things. And really that's what sanctification and holiness is about. You stop living wrong and you start doing right. But he gives this imagery of purifying or purging the wheat and then storing it in the barn. But the little bits of stem or leaf or whatever, the chaff, that's not stored in the barn. If you've ever worked on a construction site, you know what a burn barrel is. They would take the chaff and throw it in the burn barrel, let's say, and burn up the chaff until it was all gone, that it would never have a chance to contaminate the wheat. Again, you understand the purifying process. We've talked of the wheat and separating the bits that we don't want to eat. We've talked of silver. And in my case, as a kid, watching my dad purify lead, we've talked of the purifying process, the cleansing process, the sanctifying process. And John said, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, yeah, I'm baptizing with water, but Jesus is coming, and he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. To be filled with the Spirit, that's great. But sanctification is coming. And if you've ever burnt yourself, you know fire is hot. And sanctification is sometimes hot. Sanctification is sometimes not fun. Painful. Sometimes. But it has to be done. The purifying process must take place in the life of a Christian. Okay, we got somebody saved. He goes to church now. Maybe he reads his Bible. He doesn't go to the bar on Friday and Saturday night. But next we need to work on, hey, maybe you need to stop cussing or whatever. There's a process that God the Holy Spirit does in our hearts to purify us. And sometimes it's hot. But we know the rest of this chapter. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 17, it says that Jesus was baptized, and immediately it says the Spirit of God came down from heaven like a dove, and that's a symbol, I'm sure, and lighting upon Jesus, or resting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, that, the guy that was just baptized, that's my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Okay, verse 17, the last verse of Matthew chapter 3. But you look at the first verse of chapter 4. First, second verse, whatever. The very next thing after Jesus was baptized, it says that he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now we think of the wilderness, you know, we're going to go to the hunting camp, there's a bunch of trees and whatever, the woods. But in the Middle East, in Israel, that was the desert. And I've said before that everybody knows somebody that was in Desert Storm or Desert Shield or Afghanistan or something. And if they would talk to you, they'd tell you about the sand and the heat and the unpleasantness, the discomfort. Jesus was in the desert for 40 days, and he fasted. He didn't have any food. I guess he found water, but he didn't have anything to eat for 40 days and 40 nights. And it says he was hungry, and then came the devil and said, hey, you want some bread, and I won't go into the temptation. But my point is this, that Jesus, John said, he'll baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And not only that, we talked about the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap. God's work of sanctification, or cleaning us up after we stop being sinners and start living as saints, the Spirit will do two things. He'll burn us up. The impurities, he'll burn us up. Our bad habits, our secret sins, the things we look on the internet that we shouldn't be looking at, he'll burn those things up as we let him. And then the fuller soap, he begins to clean us up. But the Spirit will lead us into the wilderness, into a place of, hey man, I'm not comfortable anymore. It's hot in the desert. Maybe they got fleas. I have no idea. And then it says that Jesus, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. God will do this. He'll burn up the impurities by showing us where we're doing wrong and what have you. But he'll bring trials and suffering into our lives. I know that when I first became a Christian, it was November 30th, 1984, at 1:45 in the afternoon in my dorm room in South Stadium. I think the room was 221, but I don't remember exactly. But I can tell you when I got saved. I can tell you all about it, the things that God did in my heart. And he cleaned me up starting on that day. I knew instantly that I didn't have to smoke no more dope. And I knew that there was nothing left for me in the bars up and down Highland Road. I knew that he had set me free. Again, a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. But if you remember the parable of the sower, there are four different types of soil. One, the last time I taught that passage, a few months ago, whatever, we said that the first type of soil was like a sidewalk with a little bit of grass and dirt growing on top. Okay, fine, the grass grows, but you can't plant a tree there because an eighth of an inch underneath is concrete. The grass grows fine, but there's no root, and you wither. But one of the other types of soil had to do with being stony. It was difficult for the plant to grow. And in the parable, the interpretation, it talks about the cares of this life. That certain people, oh fine, I want to be saved, I want to go to church, I'm glad that my sins are forgiven, but then life begins to intrude. But the type of soil that was good soil, that little seed, it multiplied. It grew, it bore fruit, and the sower, the guy that was throwing seed, a couple of months later, 3-4 months later, he could come and pick fruit, because the Spirit has had a chance to work out the things in his life, to burn up the impurities, and he's managed to weather the storm. He's put up with trials, he's suffered. But in the end, the new Christian, he begins to bear fruit. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street. Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.